Hello, fellow addicts. My name is Bernard, and I'm an addict. I'd like to thank you for waking up and coming in to an early session. I don't know, I've thought about this, and I said I'd want to start off not by diving into the concepts, but that's what I'm going to talk about, basically. But I want to give you a little background on who I am and what I am and how I got here. I'm that different kind of addict. I always thought I could overcome this drug. I always thought I could use and keep my regular life going on. I was what you call a weekend warrior. And I'd go out, work all week, weekends I'd party, and then I'd go back out on the following weekend. And I kept a job for 34 years. I kept a home life until I stopped showing up at home on weekends. You know, I'd go out on Friday and not come back until Sunday morning. And it became a problem. It became a serious problem, and I had to address it. So I went into therapy, and in 1991, and it took me 10 years to start that first clean, serious time. And after that, I decided to give this thing a really good try. I got a sponsor. My first sponsor passed. He had a sponsor. And I got a second sponsor. He has a sponsor who has a sponsor. So I try to work the program. I try to stay in service. And I try to live the way the program tells me to live. Okay? I'm from the, I'm sorry, my sinuses bother me a little, so if I sniff or, you know what's going on. I'm from the Tri-County area of Southern Maryland. That's where my home group is. We meet on Sunday nights from 7:30 to 8:30 every week except for the last week of the month. And that week, my first sponsor started us on the concepts. He said that it's another set of principles that we're not addressing. And he said he wanted to change our home group's name from stepping into traditions to stepping into traditions and concepts. So he added concepts. And at the end of each month, if we don't have an anniversary, we talk about the concepts. And we've been doing this for about 6 years. We're one of two or three groups that talk about the concepts in the state of Maryland. No other groups want to address it, or they just think they don't exist. The concepts have been around since 1989. That's when the concept book was published and adopted. And still a lot of groups and the fellowship don't want to recognize that there's 36 principles, not 12, not 24, but 36. That's steps, traditions, and concepts. So when my sponsor said we wanted to change our name of our home group, I was against it. And I fought very hard in a group conscious not to do it. And I got outvoted, and we changed our name, and we started doing the concepts. Well, lo and behold, at the end of the month, our meeting group would go down in size. Nobody would want to come to the group. So we decided to shorten our meeting instead of being an hour and 15 minutes, just an hour, because we were trying to attract more people to come to the concepts. So we still do it every last Sunday of the month. We still talk about the concepts. And we go from 1 through 12. At the end of each month, we talk about that concept that month. So that gives you a little idea of what I want to talk about. Now, I don't know whether you're familiar with the concept book, but in it has all the concepts listed, and in the back it has questions about the concept. So you can read the concept, and then at the end go back and answer the questions they ask you on the concept. So it's not like, you know, you're just reading and you don't have anything. The steps in the traditions, they don't have questions at the end of the chapters. But then when it came up with the concept book, they decided to do that. I want to, before I get into doing a little of that, and I got to stretch this out because I got to use up my time, so I thought I'd give you a little bit of more insight on me. You know, I, as an addict, I told you I was one of those weekend warriors. I always thought I was, you know, smarter than this thing. I could outsmart this drug. I said, I'm not going to become an addict, you know. I said, I can just figure out how to handle this. And my addiction started a long time ago. I remember I started drinking when I was 13 or 14, going out, hanging out at clubs. When I first went away to school, I went to a party and they were smoking marijuana. And I said, wow, man, this is cool, you know, because I had to smoke marijuana. I was one of those, I guess I was a sheltered child. I guess you could call me a nerd as a young black person. I went to a religious school, and my mother actually wanted me to be a priest, you know, but I liked women too much, so I said that was out. So I went to a Catholic school, graduated. I was the only black male in my graduating class. And then I went on, and I said I had enough of that, so I went to all black college. And when I was there, I guess the first year I took my time, but after that I exploded. Once I started using marijuana, I said I was going to become an expert at it. I tried growing my own. I tried getting every type of import you could get. And it got so that when you start off, the wheels start turning real fast. And I went from there to snorting a little. And it ended up to where I was hitting that pipe real hard, you know. But during that time, I took all types of hallucinogens and I was out there, you know. People had speed, boat, they had mescaline, they had everything you could think of, you know. And I just always thought I could beat this thing, you know. And it didn't work. It beat me. So that idea that I thought I could outsmart it, it never worked. It never worked, and that's why I'm in this spot, and I'm right where I'm supposed to be. So it gives you a little background about where I am. I've been married for like 20 years. My first wife, I was married to for 13 years. I have a son who's getting married, and I just have my first grandchild born this Tuesday coming up. So I'm real happy about that. Give you a little more history about my son. My wife and I got divorced when he was 3 years old. I got custody of him when he was five, and with my parents' help, I raised him from there. Right now, he's in San Antonio, Texas, and he's doing a great job, and I feel kind of proud of him. So that's just a little background on who I am, so and what I am, and how I got here. My sponsors here, a lot of people from my home group, so it makes me feel kind of good because they get to listen to me just about every week, so it gives me a little relaxation. Okay, so let's go get into this this concept thing. The first six concepts is what I'm going to be talking about, and the concepts, and it tells me in here that the concepts is to help us in service. Tells us what we're supposed to do in service and what values we're supposed to have and what principles we're supposed to have. That's the key word. It talks about principles over personality. And it's something that's very hard for people to do in service because they always want to run stuff. You know, they got to be in charge. In my area, I guess I started out as a coffee maker. Well, when I first started going to meetings, I'd just set up the chairs and take down the chairs. I didn't have any position, but I'd go there early enough to set up the chairs, and after the meeting, I'd stay behind and take the chairs down. And when I got a home group, I started making coffee, but it wasn't long before they put me into a lot more service. I went on to secretarial meeting for about a year. Then they had me doing the going to the area as a GSR representative. Then one area service meeting, my sponsor over there suggested that I run for vice chair of the area. Well, I didn't know what when you after you do a year as vice chair, you become chair. So it ended up being a 2-year commitment. And I chaired our area for, I was vice chair for a year, and I was the area chair for a year. I believe it was first black to chair the area. So it was another mess he got me into. Anyway, after that, I still was GSR for my area. So I've been in the area service for the last 7 years, I'd say, as either GSR, area chair, vice chair, chair, and back to GSR again. And the only reason I haven't gone on to higher things is because my job, I work on weekends, and it's hard to do that as you go up into the region. But let me talk about these first six concepts, and then I'll, because I don't want to burn up all the time. So first thing, I'm going to read you the first six concepts so that you get an idea of what I'm going to talk about, and I'm going to go back and try to hit some quick points on it, okay? The 12 concepts. Number one, to fulfill our fellowship's primary purpose, NA groups have joined together to create a structure which develops, coordinates, and maintains service on behalf of NA as a whole. Two, the final responsibility and authority of NA service rests with the NA groups. Three, the NA groups delegate to the service structure the authority necessary to fulfill the responsibilities assigned to it. Four, effective leadership is highly valued in Narcotics Anonymous. Leadership qualities should be carefully considered when selecting trusted servants. Number five, for each responsibility assigned to the service structure, a single point of decision and accountability should be clearly defined. And six, group conscience is the spiritual means by which we invite a loving God to influence our decisions. Because, you know, sometimes we want to decide on stuff out of the, you know, out of our behind, and it's not a good decision. So we ask God to help us out, or a spiritual higher power. So that gives you the first six concepts. One of my esteemed home group members will be talking about the other six, so I'm not going to bother those, but if you'd like to hear him, he'll be here this evening, I think at 4 o'clock. Is that correct? 4:30, Leon? Thank you. In the same room, so he'll let you know about those. Let's see. It says the 12 concepts are relatively recent addition to our fellowship's body of guiding principles. Since NA's inception in 1950, the steps have been used to guide our personal recovery. The traditions empower the groups to create a service structure directly responsible to our collective effort, okay? And the concepts, they helped us to run our meetings and our service board, okay? Leadership as service instead of government. Groups' autonomy, fellowship's primary purpose, cooperating with affiliation, without affiliation, self-support, the empowerment of self-service. These are some of the things that the concept try to get us involved with. And I have a whole lot of things outlined, but I'm going to try to skip through them and let you know how the concepts work and how I feel that you should be involved with them, okay? Number one, on the fulfillment of our primary purpose, the NA groups have joined together to create, and that's the service structure I'm talking about, a service structure which develops, coordinates, and maintains service on behalf of NA. A lot of times, the traditions didn't do enough in the service structure to make sure that it worked or it functioned properly. We could have got paid outside help, but in order to get away from that, they came up with the concepts to change that. And that's what this first one is talking about, how they set up this, they developed this structure. When we look at the principles they set down to keep the NA service going, you know, in the area meetings and probably at the region, if we don't have some principles to follow, we're lost. Okay. It talks about us doing things together that we can't do separately, and this is why we're trying to get this coordination in the fellowship through the concepts. The final responsibility and authority for NA service rests with the NA group. Even though we go up in area, region, and world, you got to remember that this thing is an upside down thing. The groups always have the major power. They're the strongest part of this whole structure. And whenever we do something, usually the world brings it back to the region, brings it back to the area, and the area, GSRs, take it down to the meeting, the local meetings. And that's where the decisions are made, and they send it back up. The meetings are the strongest part of the NA structure, and they do the major job, which is helping the addicts stay clean. In the meetings, if they were there to take care of H&I, the newsletter, PI, and all the other things, then they just wouldn't have time enough to keep addicts clean. So what they've done is they passed it on up the line so that you have the area, the region, and the world to take care of other things, such as setting up this convention. If we try to do it in each one of the meetings, it would never work. So we have to go up, have region, DOD, set up this thing and so that it works. So that's part of the second concept, and it talks about how the group is the most important part. The third concept, the NA groups delegate to the service structure the authority necessary to fulfill the responsibilities assigned to it. And we can't go to every group every time we make a small decision. So what do? They give the GSR the authority to go to the area and vote on things that could affect them, and to send it on up to the region, which comes back to them in the final LA. And that has to be done, because if not, the groups themselves would have to decide on everything that happens to NA. And usually, you can make small decisions in the area without having each group decide on how to run that. So they send the area representative, GSR, to go there, that's the group service representative, to the area, and from the area, we send the representative to the region. And the region sends a representative to the world. And each one of those have the authority to make decisions so that we don't have to do it at the group level. So that's part of the structure system that the third concept talks about. The fourth concept talks about effective leadership is highly valued in Narcotics Anonymous. Leadership qualities should be carefully considered with selected trusted servants. Now, they talk about the trusted servants. They have recommended requirements. Now, this means that they try to say, well, this guy has been stealing money all the time. We don't want to make him the treasurer. So they have some requirements on clean time, and some requirements on what their qualities are to do these things. And if you think about it, it makes real good sense. But remember, most of this stuff is recommended. It's not mandatory. And sometimes you can be flexible, but you got to look at the qualities of the person you elected, because you can send some bad people to do some jobs, and it comes out, it affects you really, really bad. One thing I highlighted here, it says, we seek trusted servants who are willing to expend their time, energy, and the diligent service of others, studying available resource materials, counseling those with greater experience in the field of responsibility, and carefully fulfilling the tasks we've given them as completely as possible. So that's a good one on number four. Five, for each responsibility assigned to a service structure, a single point of decision accountability should be clearly defined. That means whatever they're doing at these area or region, they've got to point out what their task is and take care of it, okay? Just that one accountability problem, and they shouldn't try to do everything. We're not capable of doing everything. It says when we first create a service task, we should consider what kind of authority we must delegate in order for the task to be accomplished, and what kind of accountability should be required of those to whom we are giving the task. as the area representative, when my group gives me money to go to area to get literature and to donate to the area, my accountability is to bring back the receipts, to make sure my treasurer and my group knows that I didn't take that money and put it in my pocket. And that's the accountability theory. Same way when we have an anniversary, the person who goes to get the cake has got to bring the receipt back so that we can reimburse them. Or when we send them out for coffee or sugar or whatever. And it's that accountability part which this concept talks about, you know. In our meeting and in my home group, we have a treasurer's report at the end of every meeting. You know, a lot of groups, you don't hear about treasurer's report. What's that about? But sometimes you're sitting there saying, I wonder where this dollar's going. And if you think of all the groups, all the dollars, all the areas, it's a lot of money there. So we said that we have to be accountable for this, and people feel good about that when they come to our meeting and the treasurer says, well, this is how much money we have. We're going to pay rent. We're going to buy some coffee. We're going to buy some literature or whatever. So that's a good accountability part of it, and it talks about it in five. Last concept I'm going to talk about real quick is concept six. Group consciousness is the spiritual means by which we invite a loving God to influence our decisions. And this one, you know, we all, at the end of our meetings, just before we go to the area, which is usually the last meeting, Sunday of the month, we talk about what we're going to do at area, and we ask the loving God to help us influence what we're thinking about. We always do our little speech about having God influence our decisions. And it helps out a lot because we get to arguing there. Sometimes we don't agree on things, and it gets real ugly, but we try to talk about it and say it's all right for us to disagree, you know. There's nothing wrong with disagreeing, and we ask for everybody in the group conscious to participate and help us make a good decision. And with God influence, most of the time we come out making the right decisions. Not all the times, because we go back and change things. In my area, we had to have a secretary because our secretary was tired of doing it. So there's a guy that was coming to our meetings, and he said he was going to be one of our home groups. He had been going out a lot, and we decided to make him secretary. Well, it lasted about 3 months because we found out he was lying to us. But we made a group conscious decision. We lost the home group because of that, because we didn't elect him to it. We elected someone else. But we don't always make the right decision. But we find out in the long run. So sometimes with God's help, we can make these decisions. And that's what we ask for when we do it. That's basically what I wanted to go through was the first six concepts so you know what they're talking about and how they deal with helping the meetings. Our area is a very strong area. We sponsored the convention about 6 years ago. I think it was 2007. I believe that's right. And during that time, my sponsor was in charge of the basketball game, which we had, and we had that. And I was also volunteering as helping out with one of the dances they had that night, and I was working the door, and you know how like we like to bum rush the door and everything. It got to be nearly a fight there, and I had to back up and say, "Wait a minute, you know, like I'm not in charge of this," and I had to just calm down because I'm one of those people that want to do the job right. And since then, I've done it one more time, but I just said I can't do it because it hurts the way I feel about doing things because it wasn't being done right. I'm not one of those people that say, you're my buddy, you can go ahead and slide on in. You know, yeah, I know you, come on. I say, if you don't have a ticket or you don't have your little armband, you're not getting in, and that's it. That was my bottom line. And sometimes, maybe I wasn't flexible enough, but I couldn't continue to do that because I just didn't feel right about it. Last year, I helped my sponsor, I think, or 2 years ago, I helped my sponsor, I secretaried him speaking. I have that tape at home, and it's really good to come up and to volunteer. Getting in service is another part of this recovery program that a lot of people don't want to do. They say that 5% of the people in recovery do 95% of the work. And so that means there's a lot of people out there that are not doing anything. So if you want to do the recovery and you want to do it right, you need to get out and get in service. You know, I don't care what you do. You know, like I said, I started off picking up, putting chairs away and taking them down, doing coffee, being a treasurer, being a GSR, secretary in your meeting, going to area, going to region. Through this, my first sponsor and I, he got me involved in doing a little bit more. Second sponsor too, but I got to where I liked. I like coming to this convention, and I thought conventions gave me a real shot into staying in service. I've been to 3 world conventions because I just feel that conventions just help kick off this recovery. I went to Hawaii, I went to Barcelona, Spain, and last year I was in San Diego, and next year I hope to be in Philadelphia. So I try to stay in service, I try to stay in contact with people, and I try to get through this thing really good. With that, I want to close by saying I really appreciate you listening to me. Hopefully this will motivate some of you to get in service, and when you're doing it, I hope you practice the concepts along with the steps traditions, okay? And I thank you for letting me share. Uh-huh.
Thank you, Bernard, for sharing. At this time, I would like to introduce our second speaker, Karen from New Jersey.
Now, I wanted the sixth edition. I'm an addict named Karen.
Hey, Karen.
I have no voice. I'm a sports mom. We had a doubleheader last week. I just get my voice back. I want to thank Bernard for sharing. I asked him for his basic text, but it's a fifth edition. Every time I share, I always read from the sixth edition. There's a personal story in the sixth edition, and there's a line in it on page 211, and I have no memory. It basically says that people who are here with substantial clean time could be more dangerous than people who are using. You know, and at any given time, I'm that person. You know, I got clean in 1985, and I just celebrated my 27 years. And the only thing I can tell you is that you can come into these rooms and stay clean, because I didn't relapse. I came in before the concepts, you know, like Bernard was sharing about. And, you know, from my experience, there's not a lot of things clean time buys us. It buys us separation. But it also has bought me the experience. You know, when I first came, got in the rooms, Narcotics Anonymous, I got clean in Trenton, New Jersey. And Narcotics Anonymous, thank you, was very small. So if you went to 2 meetings, like the 2 like weeks in a row, you got involved. You know, there were 14 of us when I got clean. And you know, Narcotics Anonymous obviously has changed and grown a little bit, you know, but back then you got involved and it was blind leading the blind, because the person there with 3 years was walking on water, you know. He was like right up there next to God, you know. And I met my old sponsor, my very first meeting, he had 7 years, he was God. You know, it was a done deal. And, you know, so through the years, what I found is that people with substantial clean time, we have one common denominator, and that is we were all involved in service, and we probably still are. You know, so I got involved in service when I was about, let's see, I went to treatment, and like Bernard, like just a little bit of my background, I picked up at 12, I got clean at 23. You know, I used whatever was available. And, You know, back then in Jersey, like, you could drink at 18, and, you know, we didn't have licenses with pictures and all that crap, which means we were at the bars at 16, you know, at least 16. And I went to a boarding school, so right across the bridge from Jersey, so we were drinking at 15, you know. And, you know, so that's my experience. And I didn't come into the rooms to get clean by no means. I don't even know why the hell I came into the rooms. I just thought, okay, something to do. And, you know, so when I went to my first service meeting, or went to my first home group, I was told that I was going to be a GSR. Now, in the state of New Jersey, at that time, we had very few areas. We have two regions now, and the region that I'm part of, we have 11 different areas. And at the time, we had two areas, and we had Cape Atlantic, which was down the shore, and we had South Jersey. And that was it. And South Jersey had like 20 meetings. South Jersey is still an area and it has about 90 meetings today. You know, so I grew up in the service structure. I grew up, and as NA evolved, you know, our service structure evolved, and I evolved as an addict. And I think one of the things with addicts that with substantial clean time, we get stuck in stupid. You know, we think like things that are going on like 20 years ago should still be going on today. You know, but I'm one of those believers that believe that, you know, our drugs have evolved and addicts have evolved with them. You know, addicts are a lot smarter than like when I got clean. I'm telling you. So anyway, I became a GSR. No clue what that meant. I had no idea. I was just like, go and get literature. And unfortunately today, and this is where the concept's coming. Unfortunately today, I see that a lot. Just go and get literature. You know. Because we have no concept what our service structure is really about, you know. And so I got involved, and I stayed involved. And the first time I walked away from service, I was 5 years clean, and I wondered why at 7.5 years clean I wanted to get high, you know. And for me, the first thing I walked away from was a domino effect. I walked away from service, then I walked away from my sponsor, and then I walked away from the rooms, and then I walked away from God, and I wondered, why do I want to get high? You know, and the first thing I went back to was service, you know. And I've been fortunate enough in service. I've been part of two regions. I've been part of New Jersey region and the greater Philadelphia region. I was there for 8 years. And I've also been fortunate enough to help start some areas. You know, you got some clean time, and that's what they ask you to do. You know, start some areas. And I was one of the founding members of the Capital Area, which is Trenton. And we started that on spiritual principles, you know. We also started another area out of resentment, you know. That area didn't last too long. You know, that area had like 5 meetings because you only need 3 meetings to start an area. You know, and we had 5 meetings, and, you know, I left after a year, and, you know, they hung around for another year. And, you know, resentment's like meetings, you know. They don't last too long, you know, if you start a meeting with resentments. So, you know, you know, so I had that misfortune or fortune to help start areas. I had the fortune or misfortune to help start groups, you know, to help with the one of the conventions, starting up the Capitol Convention. So, you know, I know where I'm very service absorbed, you know. So the concepts, you know, this is how I, and I can only share my experience on the concepts. I know when you're not working the concepts, what happens? When you don't work the concepts in a service structure, that's when you get people going back to meetings and saying, oh, that was holy hell, you know. Area service, that's a mess. Why do you want to go to areas? That's what happens when you don't work concepts, in my opinion. When you don't work concepts in a regional area, because I've been part of, no offense to the Philly people, been part of a region that doesn't understand concepts, then you have a bunch of people and it's a mess, in my opinion. You know, so it's real important to understand. And like, and I was sitting there and I was thinking about the concepts. And concepts to me are just common sense. You know, like you vote somebody in, okay, and you give them, you're telling them that they're a trusted servant to whatever. So you're entrusting them to do something for you. So don't micromanage them and ask them or a committee for every little thing they do, you need a motion to vote on. You know, because what happens is in most areas and most regions, you need a majority or a quorum of some kind. And when you don't have it, you know, 4 months later, you're still doing the same crap that you were doing, wondering why things aren't changing, but you're not allowing your trusted servants to serve you. And a lot of it is, and this is my opinion, a lot of it is because you're a warm body and you raised your hand to volunteer, and that was your qualification. You know, and I get cynical as I get more clean time, you know, and I'm not knocking anybody because, like, you know, since just celebrated a year, and congratulations, you know, the year is most important, you know, one day is the most important. But, you know, I sit in service structures and I listen to people, not knocking people, you know, got a year clean. I've worked all 12 steps and 12 traditions. Really? You know? Really? You know, it took me 5 years to quite understand, like, the sum of the steps. It took me 8 years to get with the fact, like, I didn't even have a third step in my life. God only knows what I was doing the first 8 years of my recovery. Really? You got 12 steps and 12 traditions in 1 year. I need to go to whatever you're going to. You know? And like I said, I'm not knocking anybody, but this is what happens when we put unqualified people in a position, you know, because then we don't trust that position, you know, and then we want to micromanage, and then we get stuck in stupid, and then we don't get anything done. And then we wonder why people don't want to get involved in service, because service is a wonderful thing, and selfless service is absolutely, it is probably the most rewarding thing that I've done, you know. And if you don't do service, I highly suggest if you want to get some rewards in service, get involved with H&I. You know, I was involved with H&I for 5 years before I met somebody in their first meeting. You know, and they walked up to me and they said, I remember when you came into jail. Now, back when I got clean, we went into men, women, it doesn't matter because there wasn't a lot of us and there was too many of them. You know, and I remember my 5-year anniversary, I was in Trenton State Prison with lifers, you know. Most respected men that, you know, they were so respectful of me. But, like, I remember when somebody came up to me and said, I remember when you came into the jail to speak. And those couple of years of doing H&I made it all worth it that somebody actually heard a message. You know? Like, that's selfless service. You know, to me. You know? So to get somebody like we, my most recent service position, I was the chairperson of our Philadelphia region has a regional service office, 1 of 9 service offices, and I was the chairperson at service, and it was a freaking mess when we took it on, and we owed a lot of money to the world, you know, but I was in that region for a couple of years, and I remember, you know, we put in position a person who with PR, and, you know, and I know for some areas and regions, PR is not used, you know, public relations. And, the idea of public relations is everything goes under it, you know, PIH&I, anytime you're dealing with the public, it should be, you know, public relations. So we called it public relations, but it was really PI because we had an H&I, and it was like, you know, whatever. And so we put somebody in that position who had the qualifying clean time, but never did PI. Person that left was in region with me. And then we struggled months later when there was, like, mutiny in PI. You know, like, they were just, like, they were ready to run this person out of there. You know, and we wondered why, because, like, they were just, like, went like self-will, run riot, and they were like doing stuff all over Philadelphia, like not telling anybody, you know, there was like no committee going on, you know, and that's what happens, and that was like really extreme, like you had to understand all such, but that was really extreme, but that's what happens when we put people in a position that aren't qualified. Just leave the position open and trust God that God's going to bring somebody to fit that position. You know, like, we have a God of our understanding. The problem is we don't want to trust that he's going to do it in our time. So we'll just fix, manage, and control for him. And then we're like, fuck, what did we do? You know, we just caused a big mess, you know. And once they're there, you can't get them out. You can't get them out. It's like once a meeting's in a meeting list. You can't get that meeting out. I don't care if they got the big book on the table. They're not getting out of that meeting list. You know, very opinionated. Anyway, you know, so we create these service boards and you know, with the first concept, like, we create these service boards, and then, because we think it's a good idea at the time. Remember, I'm opinionated. So we think it's a good idea at the time, so we create these service boards, and then we wonder why we don't have people serving in them. You know, when we don't have enough people in our home groups serving, and we want people to serve in area, region, and world. Okay. So, you know, you mellow out when as you get older too, as far as like home group. You know, so we don't have enough people to serve them, so we'll just fill it with a warm body and hope for the best. You know, expect the worst, hope for the best. And you know, and our service structure kind of gets skewed at that point. You know, and then we like everything's going good and we're happy, joyous, and free, and then when things shit hit the fan, we're looking for somebody, you know. And I believe, like, today, you know, I was thinking about accountability and one point. You know, we are accountable to who we serve, and we need to remember that, and we don't serve self, you know. And there's one point of like, kind of like the buck stops here, you know. And I've been in service positions. I was on the New Jersey Regional Convention for, I don't know, 10 years. And last night when we registered, we had a problem. And there was somebody from the BOD. And after we straightened it out, I said, you know, thank you for serving. You know, I highly suggest that you thank these people that are serving at this convention, because this is one of the most difficult positions I ever was on, you know, because you got thousands of people never telling you everything that's right, but telling you everything that went wrong, you know, and don't understand that when you're on a convention committee, you get no sleep, you get no meetings, and you just get a lot of bitching, you know. So thank these people that are doing service for us. You know, convention is not Narcotics Anonymous. Convention is a money fundraiser for Narcotics Anonymous. This is not Narcotics Anonymous. This is a plus of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, please keep that in mind. You know, but anyway, so I was on the programming committee, and like other committees I chaired, I might not have agreed with people, but I knew I was the point, you know. And I believe that when we do service, and this is where some of the concepts come in, that it doesn't matter what you want, it matters what the committee wants, you know. And for me, it was a matter of going to region and fighting for whatever my committee wanted, and believing that whatever my committee wanted, because we had a group conscience and we had a loving God involved in it, you know, that's the way it was supposed to be, you know. And I believe that today. You know, like Bernard was talking about, I don't know, with the secretary and the meeting folding and whatever. And, you know, and I believe that God's, this is my new thing, 27 years, and I finally am figuring out that it's all a puzzle. You know, my new thing is it's the piece of the puzzle. You know, and where God's going to put that piece is up to God. My job is to wait for him to put the piece there. You know, so like everything that happens, you know, for me, at least I have a trust in the God of my understanding, or else I would have been out there years ago.
You know, this has not been fun. N.A. is not really a ball all the time, you know? Service is certainly not fun all the time, you know? But I believe that, like, you know, God allows us to do all these things and allows these things to happen in service so that, and here's another thing in my clean time, you know, I'll let you in on some things. You know, I believe that everything that happens not only happens for a reason, but happens because God wants us to learn a lesson from it. You know, the things that are like fucked up, you know, we're supposed to learn a lesson. And if we don't learn it, we keep on getting it taught to us. You know, and that's not only in our own personal lives, but that's in our service structure. You know, and I was thinking about, like, when I was thinking about the concepts, and I don't know about this particular area, region, whatever you call it. But we've been doing a lot of. Really take a look at how our service structure may be going and may be leaning, it's to incorporate these concepts more. You know, if you've been involved in a service structure where there's no discussion and it's just a group conscience and things just flow, it is so nice, you know, so that the consensus-based decision making, you know, that we're talking about in this, that's like real becoming up the big, like, what's the word? The big slogan lately around, you know, NA, you know, conscious-based decision-making, whatever, is really like incorporating the concepts, you know, that we won't have to vote yes and no. Because through our discussion and through working these concepts and through allowing people to, you know, the ability, we put them in a position, and by allowing people to serve us, because we've entrusted them to serve us, and we know that we've put in qualified people, we won't have to have these discussions, heated and otherwise. You know, we can just trust our service body to do the things that they're supposed to be doing, while groups do what they're supposed to be doing, and that's carrying the message to the addict who's still suffering, you know? I mean, so that, like, for our service structure to change, that's another thing that, you know, we're evolving, you know. And it's a lesson, and it's something that we really need to look at, and you really need to look at if you want to continue on in service, you know, because it will be changing, and it's going to be a shock to a lot of people, you know, a shock, you know. They make motions for everything around, like, where I live, you know. I mean, I'm part of Burlington County right now, but I've been parts of lots of areas. You know, the people that I sponsor have to be involved in service. You know, so I sponsor people that are involved in other areas and other regions, and I hear it all. You know, like one region, one area, and this is just my thing, you know. Like, I sponsor the chair of an area who put together an ad hoc committee. And the area told her that she wasn't allowed to put together an ad hoc committee, that they had to take it back to the groups for a vote on an ad hoc committee. And I'm like, wait a minute, an ad hoc committee has no vote. It's an informational committee. What the hell are these people doing? You know? But it's in our policy. But it goes against the concepts. But it's in our policy. You know? So those are the things, you know, and this had to do, like, it's a major decision in this area. I mean, this area is thinking about changing regions, you know, so it's not any small to-do-da, you know, it's what region should we go to. And my whole thing is it doesn't really matter because in a couple of years, the whole state's going to be one big state, you know, so it doesn't really matter. Regions aren't going to be around anymore, you know, so do whatever you want. Take 2 years to make that decision. And, you know, so for me, you know, I believe that our trusted servants are doing the best that they can, you know. And, you know, and I know in my situation, and I just want to mention about principles before personalities, you know, as I've gone through recovery, when I got clean in Trenton, we had a thing called the Purist Newsletter. And you had to be back back then, and it meant something, and I can't remember. You know, so when I got clean, we had no trust in the God of our understanding. We had no principles of humility. We had nothing. So if you said you were anything but an addict, it was a done deal with us, you know. I mean, my old sponsor actually walked up to somebody and said, you know, if you're not an addict, you better get the fuck out of here, you know. And back then, they were cross-addicted, so we were joking that they're addicted to crosses, you know, and they're duly diagnosed and, you know, all that, like, TC lingo, you know. And like, unfortunately, like, because of our inability to have a loving God in our life, we ran people out that were really good, you know. I believe that, like, in, you know, what I've learned in my time clean in my service is that step aside, but teach the newcomer how to do it. You know, just don't step aside, walk out and say, fuck you, you're on your own. You know, because that's when we end up getting what we end up getting. You know, our responsibility as people with clean time and people that are service oriented and people that know whatever the position is we need to teach the people that are coming after us. You know, I believe that. You know, I recently got out of service, and it was a nasty fight, you know, and I was talking to people, and I was up for a position, and I was running against somebody, and started getting personal. I mean, personal, you know, like emailing about me and stuff, and I was like, I don't need this anymore, you know. I don't need it anymore. I can go back to like a home group and I can do what I need to do, you know, with the home group. And what I found out, and this is where the loving God comes in, and this is where the pieces of the puzzle come in, you know, since I stepped away from that regional commitment, you know, my life has taken a 180, you know, to the point where I wouldn't have been able to fulfill that position, you know. And I would have literally killed myself because I've never given up a commitment. I would have killed myself to keep that position, you know. But my life, because of my children's father is very sick, so I'm slowly, I didn't sign up for being a singular parent. Single parent, okay. Singular parent, I didn't sign up for this, you know. But what's happening is my life is turning to where I'm becoming a singular parent. And I wouldn't have been able to keep that position, you know. So, like, everything happens for a reason if we just have allow it, you know. That is, like, my key today. You know, sit back, enjoy the ride, just don't get high, you know. God will put it all into place for you, you know. And trust God that wherever it's put in place, it's right for you. Might not be the way you wanted it, but it's right for you. You know, clean time has given me that everything that has happened in my life might not have liked it at the time, but now that I look back, was the right thing for me. You know, I don't know what else I can say about concepts. You know, Bernard went through the concepts singularly. I can only give you my experience in how my service structure them working and not working. And I believe that it's our responsibility, you know, as trusted servants to really concentrate more on who we put in those positions, because then everything else falls into place. You know, thanks for letting me share.
All right. Thank you, Karen, for sharing. We do have more than 5 minutes for this meeting, so we can't...